you can turn on the world with Capital Radio. Listening to Capital Radio. This is Brian Rust welcoming you to another Mardi Gras, our carnival of the best in vintage pop and the music and all that jazz. Happy listening. Well, this week marks the 89th birthday of one of the greatest characters in jazz, Ferdinand Jelly Roll Morton, great as a pianist, arranger, composer, bandleader, and storyteller. He was the first jazz personality to record his story for future generations in his own words, entirely off the cuff, when he recalled his experiences in music and life itself in the Coolidge Auditorium of the Library of Congress in Washington in 1938. Later in New York, this Creole genius from New Orleans made more records, adding briefly to those reminiscences.
This is the first blues I have no doubt heard in my life. Mamie Desdoom, this was her favorite blues. She hardly could play anything else more, but she really could play this note. Of course, to get in on it, to try to learn it, I made myself the can rusher. 219 done took my baby away. Took my babe away. .217, bring her back someday. Stood on the corner with her feet just soaking wet. Her feet was wet. Stood on a corner with her feet soaking wet. Begging each and every man that she met. If you can't give a dollar, give me a lousy dime. Can't give a dollar, give me a lousy dime. I wanna feed that hungry man of mine.
Mamie's Blues, a thing of infinite sorrow, as one critic described it. Jelly Roll Morton, Chris Ferdinand Joseph Lamont, was born in New Orleans on September the 20th, 1885, of a musical family. He learned to play trombone, guitar and piano, the latter somewhat reluctantly as he had the idea that only girls and effeminate men played that instrument. But after hearing an obviously masculine pianist at a concert in New Orleans one night, he changed his mind. Before he was out of his teens, he travelled through the South, learning to play all kinds of music, and pool, among other gambling games, and his prowess at the keyboard ultimately inspired him to compose a number in his own honour, Mr. Jelly Lord, which he recorded many times with different bands. Here's a most interesting recording, made in Chicago in 1924 with the white clarinetist Boyd Center and a comb and kazoo. Thank you. Mr. Jelly Lord by General Morton Steamboat 4. Morton had played in Chicago during the second decade of this century and then spent several years in California, returning to Chicago in the spring of 1923. He made his first known records there then, and in July 1923 he journeyed to Richmond, Indiana, to make some piano solos for the Jeanette label. His sessions coincided with two by the New Orleans Rhythm Kings, a pioneer white jazz band that included the great Leon Rapolo on clarinet and Ben Pollack on drums and George Brunies on trombone. Here is their record of Jelly Roll's London Blues with the composer at the piano. London Blues by Jelly Roll Morton and the New Orleans Rhythm Kings. During the mid-20s in Chicago, Jelly made numerous records, some with bands whose personnel are still in doubt. Then in the late summer of 1926, he signed a contract with Victor Records, and in the ballroom of the Webster Hotel, Chicago, he made the first of his long series of classic jazz records with his Red Hot Peppers. George Mitchell on cornet, Kid Ory trombone, Omer Simeon clarinet, they all gave their best in numbers like this, the first of the series. Black Bottom Stomp. Black Bottom Stomp by Jelly Roll Morton's Red Hot Peppers. It was a bestseller in America, and it even appeared in England, though the principal jazz critic here in those days condemned it heartily as being crude in orchestration and poor amusement to listen to it. The same session produced a fragile, ethereally lovely slow blues of a quality that has never been surpassed. Smokehouse Blues. Oh, Mr. Jelly. Well, he certainly should have been proud of a performance like that. The following summer, after three sessions with substantially the same personnel, Jelly made more records for Victor, this time using Johnny and Baby Dodds on clarinet and drums, respectively, but retaining George Mitchell on cornet. One fine record they made together was of a strange melody Jelly had composed some years earlier for a girl he'd met in Mexico. He called it The Pearls. Thank you. Pearls by Jelly Roll Morton's Red Hot Peppers. The spring of 1928 found Morton in New York making records under his Victor contract using his own name and anonymously as sideman to Johnny Dunn, the exuberant trumpet player from the pit orchestra of Lou Leslie's Blackbirds Review. These were Columbia records, and one of them, Ham and Eggs, features an unmistakable solo by the composer himself. Eggs by Johnny Dunn and his band with composer Jelly Roll Morton at the piano. For Victor, Jelly made records with a seven-piece band using the same instrumentation as his original Red Hot Peppers, but with a brass bass instead of a string, and he also produced a delightful example of trio jazz using Omer Simeon on clarinet and Tommy Benford on drums. Shreveport Stomp. And I'll be back after the news with some more Jelly music.
5 million people have seen Last Tango in Paris during its West End run. They've come up with over 500,000 opinions. Now, here's the chance to form yours. Last Tango in Paris, Certificate X, is showing at your local cinema in South London now. See for yourself the scenes that set a landmark in cinema. See the performance critics agree is Brando at his best. See Last Tango in Paris, because you've got a mind of your own.
Clock, Roger Blackburn with Capital News. The French embassy siege at The Hague continues with disagreement over how to handle the situation. Philip Till reports.
Dutch and French governments cannot agree on how to come to terms with the terrorists. Dutch government sources have told me that the French want the negotiators to take a tough, hard-line stand, while the Dutch are more willing to compromise. The disagreement centers on whether all 11 hostages should go free the moment the Japanese leave the embassy. France has said they must give up all hostages and weapons. The Dutch agreed the weapons must be surrendered, but have suggested that the Japanese keep the French ambassador until they are flown and arrive at their destination.
There's a suggestion that a bomb blast in Paris may be linked with the siege at The Hague. Here's Prue Keeley from Paris.
One person was killed and at least 27 injured, including two children, by the explosion. The scene of the explosion, the drugstore at Saint-Germain-des-Prés in the Latin Quarter, was probably one of the most crowded places in Paris at 5:20. A cinema, several restaurants, are attractions in themselves, and the busy quarter was full of tourists and French families. According to eyewitness accounts, a grenade was thrown from the first floor of the drugstore onto the tobacco counter by a man. A communique from the Red Army, published in Damascus this afternoon, is making people in Paris think there may be a connection with the Hague siege. It said other actions would be undertaken if more Red Army members were captured.
Farm workers are pressing for more money. Stephen Cape has the story.
Farm leaders are submitting a massive claim for an extra 60% in their pay packets. It's the biggest demand ever made by the National Union of Agricultural and Allied Workers, but it'll boost the starting wage of £21.80 per week to more than £34. The farming union also wants the adult pay scale to start at 18, and Mr. Reg Bottini, the union secretary, intends to lay down these demands before the Agricultural Wages Board in London. Stephen Cape, Capital News.
London's weather, overcast with periods of rain, clearing later with some mist or fog towards dawn. It's 2 minutes past midnight. Roger Blackburn, Capital News, in tune with London.
Here we are back on Mardi Gras with some more of Jelly Roll Morton's music. Towards the end of 1928, he continued his series of Victor records using a 10-piece orchestra that required written scores for the ensembles, but which gave each magnificent soloist a chance to extemporise. Jazz, said Jelly in his spoken autobiography, is to be played sweet, soft, plenty rhythm. This is what he meant. Deep Creek. Thank you. Deep Creek, a delightful piece of programme music from Jelly Roll Morton's fertile mind. In 1929, in July, he spent a week recording in Camden, New Jersey, three sessions with another large band, and one entirely solo piano. This date produced some more superb music, including this piece of more conventional ragtime, which nevertheless bore the enigmatic title, Freakish. Freakish, ragtime in the Morton manner. In November 1929, Jelly used the most of the Louis Russell band, less one trumpet, two saxes and Russell himself, for a session that produced four numbers. All were extremely rare in the original form, as they weren't issued until 1933 in the depths of the Depression, when records of jazz simply were not selling in America. Here's one of them with Henry Allen, trumpet, J.C. Higginbottom, trombone, Albert Nicholas, clarinet, Pops Foster, bass, and Jelly, of course, dedicating it to Sweet Peter. Thank you. with most of Louis Russell's band, Sweet Peter, whoever or whatever that may have been. I'll be back with some more Jelly Roll music after the break. You can turn on the world with
Capital Radio. Here's another commercial for Colt 45.
You tune to Radio WAWA Detroit, the funkiest station in the whole U.S. of A, and it's going to be one hot afternoon here, brothers and sisters. So open up your windows and open up your icebox and pour yourself a Colt 45. I mean Colt 45, American malt liquor. Because if you want to keep cool, you're going to have to freeze that beer. I mean really freeze it. And you know that Colt 45 has got the flavor to stand for that kind of mean treatment. Traffic here in Detroit is...
Colt 45 American malt liquor is what America's talking about. And it's now available in England.
Here we are again on Mardi Gras with some more Jelly Roll Morton memories. Always eager to experiment, Jelly Roll Morton chose his musicians carefully to achieve the effects he wanted. And because he was such a perfectionist and determined to get results, he wasn't altogether popular with some of his fellow musicians, who seemed to feel resentment at his insistence on this or that device in the arrangement. Others who went along with him found him easy to work with. Personnel didn't remain constant, perhaps for this reason. He couldn't get the results he wanted from some of his colleagues. The clarinet on most of his 1930 recordings remains a mystery. On this one, he plays bass clarinet also by way of an interesting new voice. If Someone Would Only Love Me.
Thank you.
If Someone Would Only Love Me, a sad little ballad in the popular style. 1930 was the year of Morton's last Victor records until 1939. At his last session in October, he recorded a wistful number with the strange title Fickle Fay Creep. He'd originally made it for OK in St. Louis in 1926, calling it Soap Suds, but this, with Ward Pinkett on trumpet and the unknown clarinet who was said by Morton to have been one of the house musicians who was white and who tried hard but didn't have it in him, this is a much superior record in every way. Fickle Fay Creep and Jelly Roll's farewell to Victor Records for 9 years. In those years, he suffered the agony of oblivion. His music wasn't considered commercial in the swing era, and his recording activities in all that time amounted to the merest handful of casual sessions for all small companies. Then in September 1939, Victor decided to record some genuine jazz, following the success of their reissues of the classic era on the cheap Bluebird label. Morton made two sessions, one of them giving us this splendid orchestral arrangement of James Scott's immortal Climax Rag. Thank you. Climax Rag by Jelly Roll Morton's New Orleans Jazzmen. But it was nearly the end of the road for Jelly. There were no more Victor dates, and his next and last band records were for a small label that vanished very rapidly. Beset with marital problems, his health in decline, Jelly Roll Morton decided to set out for Los Angeles in the depths of the winter of 1940-41 in an open car. On July the 10th, 1941, he died, and inevitably the legends about him and his life began to grow. As a man, he was proud, egotistical, boastful, but he proved he could do all that he claimed, in every activity, musical and otherwise. As a musician, his records tell their own story, affirm the truth. So to end with tonight, I'd like to play a piano solo record made by Jelly in 1939 of a number he wrote long ago called The Crave. Jazz should have a Spanish tinge, he said. This is what he meant. Crave, one of Jelly Roll Morton's most exquisite inspirations. Well, I hope you enjoyed Morton's music as much as I did, and that you'll join me again next week. Till then, this is Brian Rust wishing you good night from Mardi Gras, our carnival of the best in vintage popular music, and all that jazz.